One of the things that's a constant in life is trouble, right? Anybody want to say amen? We all have troubles. Jesus promised us, he said, in this world you will have trouble. We know trouble comes. We're not exempt from trouble because we're followers of Jesus. We will still run into troubles as we go through this life. Martin Luther, when he was going through times of trouble, would call his friend Philip together and he would say, let's sing Psalm 46. And they would sing, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, that we sang earlier. We're going to look at the same psalm, Psalm 46 this morning, a great psalm of assurance and hope and confidence that we have in the Word of God. Let's stand together as we look at this passage, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and their mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns his shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord, thank you for your word. And we pray today, Lord, that you'll speak to us through your word. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive your message that you have for us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of my favorite psalms, Psalm 46, great psalm of hope. We see in this that we are recipients of the faithfulness of God. Our faithful God watches over us. He's our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. It doesn't say in the word that we are exempt from troubles. It says we will have troubles. But even though we do have troubles, we can count on God. God is our refuge in times of trouble. Our refuge in times of trouble. You know, troubles can be different for different people. And one thing I've learned throughout time is that what might be a trouble for someone else won't be a trouble for someone, another person. We handle things differently. And so we all know what troubles us. You know, there are all kinds of things that could be trouble. I mean, sickness can cause us trouble. Financial problems can cause us trouble. Relationship problems can cause us trouble. Loss can cause us trouble. There are just so many things that can cause trouble, and we experience those as we go through life. So what do when we have trouble? And the scripture says, God is our refuge in times of trouble. We need to go to him and thank him that he is our refuge, our safe place, our place of security. I remember when I was a kid, I grew up on a farm and where we had a lot of fun things to play with, and we would take these bales off the haystack because they had the small bales that you could still lift, and we would build forts with them. They were pretty awesome. It was kind of like giant Legos, you know, way before Legos was out, and we would build these great forts with tunnels coming in where you can hide, and we'd be safe from our imaginary enemies that were out there on the farm. It was our safe place, our refuge. The scripture says God is our safe place. It's not really a place at all. It's a person. God doesn't say, I'll show you where the refuge is. He says, I'll be your refuge. I'll be your safe place. He doesn't say, I'm going to send you an angel to be your safe place. He doesn't send us a prophet or a priest or a preacher or a counselor. He sends us himself. He's our refuge. God is our refuge. Psalm 91 says, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. When we're tempted to be fearful, when troubles come, we need to remember to go to our refuge. God is our refuge, our safe place. Notice that it says he is our refuge in trouble. Not from trouble. We'd love it if it was from trouble, right? But it's in trouble, not from trouble. God is also our strength in times of trouble. He is our strength. He's our refuge and strength. We have the strength of Almighty God to help us in times of trouble. Again, he doesn't say, I'll show you where to get strength. He says, I am your strength. I am your strength. Many people believe that this psalm was written after the time when King Hezekiah and the people of Israel were attacked by the Assyrian army. The Assyrian army came, and as was their pattern, they laid siege to the city and were trying to get the people to surrender. King Hezekiah thought it was all lost, and he was, you know, just ready to give up. But he heard a word from the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, who told him, you need to trust God. And he did. And the Lord delivered them. The Assyrian army was defeated in that amazing time. Not because Hezekiah was strong, but because God was strong. God was his strength. He was the strength for the people of Israel. We find it throughout the Bible. Moses understood that God was his strength. David understood God was his strength. Gideon understood God was his strength. Go through all those heroes. In the New Testament, Paul understood God was his strength. And so he would write these words, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. God was his strength. God is our strength in times of trouble. We need to personalize it and put our name in this psalm. God is my strength in times of trouble. God is also our help in times of trouble. It means he's willing to be found. He's enough to help us. It's frustrating when you need help and you can't find it, isn't it? But very often, if you're like me, I need help and I don't ask. My wife would say amen to this. She doesn't even know this happened, so this is kind of a confession. But when I was in Guatemala, we had to transfer a whole bunch of stuff down from the upper part down a deep, steep hill to the lower part. We were going to do our teaching for the men. And I had one of these cases that we took down, little rollers on it, but it was pretty full of stuff. And I thought, I can do this by myself. So I headed out in the dark and headed down the hill. It didn't take me very long to realize I can't do it by myself. So I'm stuck out in the dark on the road. Everybody else is up in the office. But Pastor Jerry came by, one of the Guatemalan pastors, and I didn't speak the language, but by sign language, I was able to say. And he picked up the other end, and we made it down the hill. I needed help, and I got help. But I had to ask for help. And I don't know about you, how you are, but sometimes I do that with God, too. He's willing to help. He says, I am your help in times of trouble, but we try to do it ourselves, don't we? Try to fix it, try to solve it. And then if nothing else works, well, I might as well pray now because nothing else worked. We should go to prayer first, right? He's our help in times of trouble. He promises it. In prophet Isaiah 41 says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. There's a promise from God. He will help us. But we need to ask him. We need to trust him. We are blessed with confidence because of God. It says in the psalm here, we don't have to be afraid. That's good news. The psalmist says, we will not fear. Even though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea and the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. I don't know about you, but verses 2 and 3 sound like the world has fallen apart. Even if that happens, he says, we will not fear. We won't fear. Now you fill in your own blank there. When your world falls apart, when things are going and just not going right, and it really feels like the world is falling, your world is falling apart, we don't have to be afraid. We can be like the psalmist here and says, we will not fear because God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our very present help. That's why we're not afraid because God is with us. The psalmist says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. His presence makes all the difference. We can trust in our faithful God. Our part in conquering fear is to trust in God. Trust him. And the prophet Isaiah says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. When we're faced with circumstances or troubles that cause us to fear, we must choose to trust in God, and that's exactly what the devil doesn't want you to do. He doesn't want you to trust in God. He'll tell you that God's not trustworthy. God's not going to help you. He doesn't love you. He'll tell you all kinds of lies. He doesn't want you to trust in God, because when you trust in God, the devil is defeated. We enjoy victory over the devil and his weapon of fear when we trust in God. It's interesting in this psalm, between verses 3 and 4, there's kind of a transition that happens. But he's talking about the everything kind of falling apart, and we won't be afraid. Then he says, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. We enjoy the presence of God. This river, oftentimes in Scripture, is symbolic of the presence of God. Symbolic of the presence of God. His presence gives us joy. Now, the people of Israel considered to be Jerusalem, the city of God. They would come to worship because God was there. There's no river in Jerusalem. It's God's presence is there. That's what they believed. They came to worship and rejoice. And because God was there, they were rejoicing. They celebrated. They had all these festivals. It made their hearts glad. The presence of God made a difference, and it gave them joy. You know, when the Assyrian came to attack Israel during the time of King Hezekiah, one of the things Assyrians would do is they would surround people and lay siege to the city to just keep any food and water from getting through, so the people would not have food or water and they would surrender. King Hezekiah was pretty smart, and before any of that happened, he dug a tunnel. He had a tunnel dug from the spring of Gihon to the pool of Siloam, all inside the walls of the city, 1,777 feet through solid rock. They dig a tunnel so the water could run down and they'd have a constant water supply. Some of you that have been to Israel with us have seen that tunnel that they dug. It's amazing. But here was this river flowing, if you will, underneath the city, a spring, constantly there to keep them so they would never run out. And it's symbolic of God's presence in us. God has given us his Holy Spirit that lives deep down inside of us. And it gives us joy. The enemy, the devil, could lay siege against us, but he cannot take away our joy. It's deep down in there, just like that spring runs under Jerusalem. We can have the joy of the Lord. His presence also gives us stability. Verse 5 says, God is within her. She will not fall. She will not fall. God's presence makes a difference. Reminds me of the story that Jesus told in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, the foolish man builds his house upon the sand, and when the storms come, the house collapsed. But a wise man builds his house upon the rock, and when the same storms come, the house stands. Because it's built upon the rock, the Word of God. The presence of God gives us stability, an inner resiliency to cope with troubles when they come. We can be like Paul, who wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We have this stability that comes from God's presence within us. His presence also gives us assurance. Verse 6 says, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. I don't know about you, but that reminds me that God is ultimately in control. There are bad things that happen in this world. We know that. There's sin and the consequences of sin going on in our world. There's bad things that happen. Ultimately, God is in control. Justice will be done, and he will reign. The presence of a God in our lives, the God that could just speak the word and the earth would melt, should give us assurance and hope. Heard a story of a lady named Gladys Allward. She was a missionary to China during World War II. The Japanese had invaded China, and she needed to get out of there. She was caring for an orphanage of 100 children. So with only one person to help her, she managed to escape over the mountains with 100 children taken to safety. She underestimated how hard that was going to be to take care of those kids and feed them and get them over the mountain. And partway through, she was ready to give up. She thought, we'll never make it. One of the 14-year-old girls in her group came to her and told her and reminded her of the story of Moses and God and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea as God led them through the Red Sea. Sadly, Gladys said, yeah, but I'm not Moses. And the girl says, I know you're not Moses, but God is still God. God is still God. His presence makes all the difference. It gives us assurance for whatever we're going through. His presence also gives us courage. Verse 7 says, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Do we really believe that? The Lord Almighty is with us. The all-powerful God of the universe is with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. He's our fortress. The Romans had an interesting way to do battle when they fought. They would make what was called a tortoise formation where they'd have their shields in the front and the shields along the side and shields in the back, and the guys in the middle would hold their shields up so they were completely surrounded by their shields, and they would move forward to attack. It was a mobile fortress. God is our mobile fortress. When we leave church, we don't leave him here behind. He goes with us. When you get done with your devotional time, you don't leave him behind. He goes with you. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In Joshua, we read these words, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We acknowledge the power and majesty of God. We see this in this psalm. We remember what God has done. In verses 8 and 9, it's like the psalmist is looking back to see what God has done in the past, how he's ended wars and took care of things and conquered, you know. He's remembering what God has done. The Bible is full of stories of what God has done. The New Testament full of stories of what Jesus has done. And we have our own memories of what God has done. We need to remember them, and that gives us assurance and help. And the most important thing we need to remember is that God loved us enough to send Jesus Christ, his Son, to this earth to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life. We remember what God has done, and that encourages us to have confidence in what God will do when we're in the trouble. We remember the power of God. We remember the power of God. God is all powerful. The Lord Almighty is with us. He can do anything. He holds the whole universe together, right? There's no threat to his power. No one can compare to his power. Job said, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Do you believe in the power of God? When we were in Guatemala, we heard a lot of testimonies from pastors that were down there and their wives. And one pastor from Nicaragua shared a story that was an amazing story. And I'll give you the abbreviated version of it. But he was telling how that he was at his daughter's house when his grandson died. His grandson was young. I don't know how old, a toddler probably. And the whole house was upset. I mean, it was a tragedy. It was unexpected, and everybody was crying and weeping, and it was just a terrible, terrible time. And this pastor said he went in the grandpa and picked the grandson up and began to pray for the grandson. And as I'm listening to him, and I'm thinking, this is not going to end well, this story. It's a sad story. And he went on and told the story how he kept praying to God and praying to God. And a lot of time was going by. I mean, they didn't call 911. I don't even know if they have that. They probably don't have that. But he just kept praying. And again, I'm thinking, this is not going to end well. And then he said, my grandson came back to life. And I was shocked. And then I was convicted that I didn't believe God could have done that. You know? God is all powerful. He can do anything that he chooses to do. We need to believe in the power of God and remember that power. The one who is able to help us is all powerful. We also quiet ourselves before God. I love this part of the psalm where he says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." Those are words of comfort and words of challenge. Reminds me of the words of Jesus when he was on the Sea of Galilee and the sea was really rough, you know, and the disciples were really worried and woke him up. And Jesus said, "Be still." And the sea was completely still. And he can do that to our own hearts when the seas of trouble are boiling up on our own hearts. We can hear the words of Jesus, "Be still and know that I am God." It's important to do that. A few hours ago, I was in this sanctuary. No one was here. It was really early. It was dark. Sitting on the back row, all by myself. And I was thinking about this verse, "Be still and know that I am God." And I just had some private time just to be still in God's presence. Thankful that he was with me. Just soaking up his presence. "Be still and know that I am God." We need to do that. "Be still and know that I am God" means we'll take time to listen to him. It means we'll cease what we're doing, right? To be still. Sometimes we just want to go, and sometimes we need to quiet ourselves and be still and let God speak to us. Be aware that God is with us and thank him and worship him. When the people of Israel were getting ready to cross the Red Sea, Moses told them these words, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Be still. It's a trusting in God, being still in his presence. We trust in the only God. We trust in the only God. That's how we stay close to the refuge. God is our refuge. We stay close through trust, right? Now, about a mile this direction, there's a place out there called the Deer Flat Wildlife Refuge. And it's a safe place for birds and animals to live because no one can hunt in there. It's against the law. It's a refuge, a safe place, right? But the hunters know where the boundaries are, and they set up the decoys right outside of the refuge so that if those geese or ducks wander off the refuge, there's shots going on off. I hear them from my house often because we live close here. And I was thinking about that, God being our refuge, and we stay close through our trust in him. But the devil is waiting. He is waiting for us to draw away from our refuge from lack of trust, and he's ready to shoot, if you will. He's ready to cause trouble and problems for us, just waiting for us to walk away from the refuge. He's ready. So the counsel is this morning, stay in the refuge. Stay in the refuge. Stay in that safe place. Trust God with everything. Don't believe the lies of the enemy that would tell you God isn't trustworthy. Trust him. And then we can live in peace. We believe in the ultimate triumph of God. In this psalm, God says, "I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." That is a fact that is stated by God in God's word. We know that evil is at work in our world, but God will triumph. Justice will be done. All the armies of the world are no match for God. All the nuclear weapons that have ever been created are no match for the power of God. The devil is no match for the power of God. God's will be done. He will triumph. We see it in the book of Revelation, spelled out this triumph of God. And Revelation 17 says, "They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them. Because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers." Amen. You see, we're in that verse. We get to be a part of this wonderful end times thing that's going to happen, this triumph. We believe in the ultimate triumph of God. And until that time, we live in the presence of Almighty God. We live in his presence. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our ever-present help. He is the river that runs deep down inside of us by his Spirit to give us joy and peace and assurance and stability. He's everything for us. We live in his presence. And I just believe that this is something, if you've been around church for a long time, you've heard this many, many, many times. But we need to really let it soak in to really understand how amazing it is that the Lord Almighty is with us. He's our constant refuge and strength and help in times of trouble. Praise his name. We're going to sing a song together and invite you to a time of prayer. The song is taken from this psalm as well. Be still and know that I am God. And that's what we do in this time, is just to be quiet as we worship God, quiet our hearts in his presence, to realize that he is God. And he invites us to bring everything to him that would tempt us to be fearful and to trust him. Come to the refuge. Come to our strength. Come to the one who helps us. Let's stand together. If you need to pray about anything this morning, please come as we sing this song of worship together.